Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. A very long reading today, so thank you for your patience. It takes a while to get through. Today I want to take the Torah our reading from the Torah portion. And I believe that today's reading is the foundation of the gospel revelation that sacrifice must be made for the salvation of mankind through resurrection, regardless of what promises have already been made. And so that is what was brought forth out of Bereshit chapter 22. Let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for this word. And we pray that all will get the revelation that sacrifice can be the only way through salvation. And Abba, we just give you the glory that you will just reveal to everyone here and everyone listening online of this revelation. In Yeshua's name, amen. When we look at Bereshit chapter 22 and verse 2, it says, Yehovah said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Yitzhak, and go to the land of Moriah. There you are to offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will point out to you. And further down in verses 13 and 14, Avraham raised his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the bushes by its thorns. Avraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Avraham called the place Yehovah Yireh, or Yehovah will see to it, Yehovah provides. As it said to this day, on the mountain Yehovah is seen. So something would be seen. In Chronicles, or 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, then Shlomo began to build the house of Yehovah in Yerushalayim, where? On Mount Moriah, where Yehovah had appeared to David, his father. Provision had been made for this at the place David had chosen, on the threshing floor of Ornan the Yebusi. And in Matityahu chapter 16, verses 15 to 18, it says, but you, he said to them, this is Yeshua, who do you say I am? And Shimon Kepha answered, you are Hamashiach, the son of the living Elohim. Shimon bar Yochanan, Yeshua said to him, how blessed you are, for no human being revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. Also, I also tell you this, that you are Kepha, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it. A very special mountain stood in Yerushalayim and stands there to this very day. It first comes into significance during Avraham's day, Mount Moriah. The name Moriah actually means scene of Yah. But when I break this word down from the Hebrew, and I love doing breaking Hebrew words down, I've studied linguistics, so it's just a part of who I am, is to break words down and get their real meaning out of them. So when I break Moriah down, I read from the light of Yah, because the M sound in Hebrew means from, or is light, Yah, from my Yah, my God. So Moriah actually means from the light of Yah, the place where his light would shine, and we also need light to see. You can't see anything in darkness, you've got to have light. It was there that Yah's light would shine, that Avraham was told his only son, Yitzhak, and sacrifice him to Yehovah. We simply read a few statements made by Avraham, but the mind of that man and his faith accomplish great feasts in order for him to be able to say what he actually said. In Bereshit 22:1-5, he says, "After these things, Yehovah tested Avraham. He said to him, 'Avraham,' and he answered, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Yitzhak, and go to the land of Moriah. There you are to offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will point out to you.' Avraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, together with Yitzhak his son. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, departed and went towards the place Yehovah had told him about. On the third day, Avraham raised his eyes and saw the place in the distance. Avraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go there and worship and return to you.'" That's a strong statement of faith, isn't it? He's already been told he has to sacrifice him, but he's telling them he's going to return. In order to respond to the servants, telling them that he and the boy would return after them, after worshipping, a lot would have had to gone through Avraham's mind. You need to appreciate it. First, Yah had previously told him that all nations of the world would be blessed through this son, through his son Yitzhak. From that boy would come descendants as innumerable as the number of the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And then he commands him, "Sacrifice your son." It's like, you know, hey, how can you tell me to sacrifice him, but you've already told me he's going to be an heir to so many people? Last time I spoke to you, I told you that Yah's word is true, and if Yah says that, I believe it. You remember that? That settles it, doesn't it? I think Avraham had that in his mind. Avraham either believed what Yah had previously promised, or he was in turmoil emotionally. Avraham proves he believes Yehovah and his promises, because when we read on in Bereshit 22 and verse 9, it says, "They came to the place Yehovah had told him about, and Avraham built the altar there, set the wood in order, bound Yitzhak his son, and laid him on the altar." He was ready. If we read on, it all says he has the knife ready. But Avraham built an altar there on that mountain, Moriah. In Messianic Jews Hebrews chapter 11 verses 7 to 19, which we also read today, "By trusting or having faith, Avraham, when he was put to the test, offered up Yitzhak as a sacrifice. Yes, he offered up his only son, who had received the promises, to whom it had been said, 'What is called your seed will be in Yitzhak.' For he had concluded that Elohim could even raise people from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did so receive him." For Avraham to hear Yah say that he must sacrifice Yitzhak, and then tell the servants he would leave and return with the boy, he had needed to have a revelation that Yehovah's promises are true no matter what things look like. The revelation was that Yah would have to resurrect Yitzhak from the dead in order to have made the two statements, neither of which can be wrong, because Yah's word is true and will always be true. Yah's word cannot be violated. And so by his words to sacrifice Yitzhak, he still knew that some miracle was going to happen. Avraham realized Yah would have to resurrect the boy. He saw the truth in resurrection. Avraham faced a situation of death, and we know that Hasatan, or the adversary, has the power over death. In Messianic Jews Hebrews chapter 2 verses 13 and 14, it tells us, "Also, I will put my trust in him." Then it goes on, "Here I am along with the children Elohim has given me. Therefore, since the children share a common physical nature as human beings, he became like them and shared that same human nature, so that by his death he might render ineffective the one who had power over death, that is the adversary. Speaking of Yeshua. Death is an enemy that many people fear, making it probably the greatest enemy. And Abraham faced the prospects of having his son die to be taken away from him. Yah even emphasized the picture by calling Yitzhak his only son who Abraham loved. Who else was an only son that was really loved by his father that you can bring to mind? But Abraham saw something that caused him to obtain victory over the adversary's greatest weapon of death. He saw a revelation. In the mountain of Yehovah, it shall be seen when we read in Bereshit 22:13-14, Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the bushes by its thorns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham calls the place Yehovah Yireh, or Yehovah will see to it, or Yehovah provides. As it is said to this day, on this mountain, Yehovah is seen. So as we read in today's Torah portion, Abraham did in fact receive Yitzhak back again from the dead, because the ram's death counted in Yehovah's eyes as Yitzhak's death. He received Yitzhak back figuratively. The sacrifice of the ram counted for Yitzhak's death. So Yitzhak's return from the mountain, since the ram died in its place, it was like Yitzhak had been resurrected from death. Abraham said, "The light of Yehovah will be seen." And that, of course, as I said, is what Moriah means in English. Abraham saw a truth. He had the lights went on, in other words. He had a revelation that Yehovah counts the sacrifice as our deaths. Abraham and Yitzhak did indeed return, as we read in Bereshit 22:4-5. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, I and the boy will go there and worship and return to you." Abraham raised his eyes. He looked up with the eyes of understanding to receive a revelation on the third day. And of course, when I have say the third day, I can't stop but think about another special third day. On a third day, Yeshua HaMashiach resurrected from the dead, the only begotten Son of Yehovah. For me, that's a second witness. Two only sons, two resurrections from the dead. Without the resurrection, many nations would never be blessed as they are today. We would not know Yehovah's Ruach HaKodesh today if it had not been for the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach. Shaul said we need our eyes of understanding enlightened to see Yeshua is resurrected and we are seated with him in the heavenly places. We need to lift our eyes up high to where Yeshua is seated in heaven and see that you are seated with him, as I spoke about last time that I was speaking. When Abraham lifted his eyes, he saw a ram that was to die in Yitzhak's place. Like a ram's head caught in a thicket, Yeshua HaMashiach had a crown of thorns placed on his head as he died as us. And this is the whole foundation of the entire concept of the Messianic community of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Netzarim believers. We have to have this, understand this, to become true believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. And that's why I see the two of them as being exactly the same. As Yitzhak's death and Yeshua's death, both sacrifices had to be sacrifices that need to be made. In Bereshit 22:17 it says, "I will most certainly bless you, and I will most certainly increase your descendants, as many as there are stars in the sky or grains of sand on the seashore. Your descendants will possess the cities of the enemies. There on the foundation where Abraham saw a revival or a revelation of resurrection from the dead by a special sacrifice, Yeshua would possess the keys to the gates of hell on that same mountain. He possessed the keys to the gates of the enemy. The gates of hell were the property of HaSatan, or the adversary, the devil, whatever you want to call him. But Yeshua conquered death, hell, and the grave. He possessed the keys to the gates of hell. We are showed this revelation to Abraham. Abraham also saw the truth of death for another, that another might live, and in effect be resurrected from death. The house of Yah, or the temple, would one day be built upon that rock, on the same Mount Moriah, where the light of Yehovah would emanate. The temple would be built. Yeshua spoke of a building, his messianic community, and on that rock, he said, the gates of hell would not prevail against it, because Yeshua would possess and take control of those gates. King David is also linked to Mount Moriah, where centuries after Abraham, David is coming down to the close of his life and is tempted by HaSatan to number his military might. This was insulting to Yah about this, and this is what Yehovah was so about this, so that Yehovah was with him no matter how many men he had. Yehovah was with King David, he promised him that. Not only that, but his men were totally for him, and counting them would not lessen or add to King David's military might. But David began slipping away from his confidence in Yah and worried, so he sought to check how much fleshly power he had. It took 9 months and 3 weeks to make the count from Dan to Beersheba. As soon as David was told that he had 1,100,000 men from Israel, 470,000 men from Yehuda, he cries out to Yah in repentance. He admitted he sinned. Not only that, but the law said that you count Israel and you must pay the tribute money for each and every soul. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 30 and verse 12, it says, when you take a census of the people of Israel and register them, each upon registration is to pay a ransom for his life to Yehovah, to avoid any breakout of plague among them during the time of the census. So a plague would come. And Yah sent the prophet named Gad the seer to King David, and gave David one of three choices of punishments. One, you can have 7 months of famine. Two, 3 months fleeing from your enemies. And three days of pestilence. 3 days, once again, will always speak of the stake in some manner. David chose to fall into Yehovah's merciful hand, except the third choice of direct punishment from Yah of 3 days of plague and pestilence. And from Dan to Beersheba, the very places where the count was made, 70,000 souls died. Then we read on the third day of the plague in 1 Chronicles 21:15 to 18. It says, Elohim also sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But when he was about to carry out the destruction, Yehovah saw it and changed his mind about causing such distress. So he said to the destroying angel, enough, now withdraw your hand. The angel of Yehovah was standing at the threshing floor of Onan the Yebusi. David raised his eyes and saw the angel of Yehovah standing between the earth and the sky, and in his hand was a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the leaders, wearing sackcloth, fell on their faces. King David said to Yehovah, wasn't it I who ordered the census of the people? Yes, I am the one who sinned and done something very wicked. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and my family, father's family, but not against your people, striking them with this plague. Then the angel of Yehovah ordered Gad to tell David to go and set up an altar to Yehovah on the threshing floor of Anan the Jebusite. King David saw that Jerusalem was about to be destroyed. He faced an enemy called death, as Avraham faced the proposition of a death. King David got a revelation. Suddenly he spoke with prophetic spirit and said things that would be true of Yeshua HaMashiach. As a shepherd, which King David was before he was sought out to become king, David said, "But these sheep, what have they done? Please, let your hand be against me and my father's family, not against your people." Yeshua said in Yochanan chapter, or John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." David realized in Revelation that he could die instead of Jerusalem. This was revelatory. This was very significant. Another would die for others. The ruach of sacrifice had hit him. And this is what Yah always looks for in each and every one of us. The ruach of sacrifice. What are we prepared to sacrifice for others to be true believers in Yeshua HaMashiach? It struck Yehovah's heart, for he would manifest in flesh that humanity would die for others as well. In 1 Chronicles 21, 26 to 28, it says, "Then David built an altar to Yehovah there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He called on Yehovah, who answered him from heaven by fire on the altar for burnt offerings. And Yehovah gave an order to the angel, and he put his sword back in its sheath. Then David saw that Yehovah had answered him at the threshing floor of Anan the Jebusite. He sacrificed there." As soon as King David mentioned dying for the people instead, that instigated Yehovah to send the prophet to tell David to build an altar. But King David needed that revelation of resurrection. Just like Avraham's altar meant to offer Yitzhak upon a substitution death took place, David's words of substitution were associated with an altar. And when Yah heard David say, "Let your hand be against me," he sent word for an altar. That altar stood for David's death. David acted so self-centeredly when he numbered Israel, but here Yah saw him act selflessly and gave him the instructions to build an altar. Then David made that statement. Yah saw that he caught hold of something divine. He caught hold of the heartbeat of Yah and the essence of the entire gospel message of giving up one's own life for the life of his people. He caught hold of that which could be the foundation of the messianic community itself. The entire basis for the whole concept of salvation through Yeshua HaMashiach was this truth, that is, to lay down one's life for others. And this was the same location, same place, where Avraham saw something, caught a truth, and received a powerful revelation. Avraham saw that the sacrifice was substitution for his descendants. He saw that through a sort of resurrection from death in Yitzhak, many nations would be blessed, since the ram's death stood as Yitzhak's death, then right there. And in Chronicles 22:1, it says, "Then David said, 'This is the house of Yehovah Elohim. This is the altar Israel is to use for burnt offerings.'" It is as though David said, "Upon this rock I will build my temple." King David saw that Yah accepted and approved that sacrifice. He would not go to Givon anymore and offer sacrifices. He approved of that place on Mount Moriah Moriah in Yerushalayim. In Deuteronomy, or Devarim, chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "Father, you are to come to the place where Yehovah, your Elohim, will put his name. He will choose it from all your tribes, and you will seek out that place, which is where he will live, and go there." Yehovah indicated to David where that place was. This was where he was to build the house of Yehovah, on the mountain, or the rock as it were, where Avraham, after a three-day journey, and saw Yitzhak resurrected from death through the death of the ram, where David offered himself in death and representatively did die through sacrifice there. The entire temple was built on that rock, Mount Moriah. Onan owned a threshing floor there, a place high up on the mountain where the wind would blow away the chaff from the wheat as he threshed, where elements not desired in the wheat were removed and taken to be burned and were separated. Jochan and the Immerser describe Yeshua, saying in Matityahu chapter 3, 11 and 12, "It's true that I am immersing you in water so that you might turn from your sin to Yehovah. But the one coming after me is more powerful than I. I'm not worthy even to carry his sandals. And he will immerse you in the Ruach HaKodesh and in fire. He was with him in his winnowing fork, and he will clear out his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, but burning up the straw with unquenchable fire." Yeshua saw that Kepha received a revelation that he was the Mashiach, the son of the living Elohim. Kepha caught hold of that revelation of the living Yah. He understood somewhat of Yehovah's life. He received a revelation associated with Avraham and David's revelations, and Yeshua said he would build his messianic community on that rock. Kepha's name meant rock. Gates of the grave could not prevail against that kind of community. In Matityahu 16:15-18, it says, "But you," he said to them, "who do you say I am?" And Shimon Kepha answered, "You are HaMashiach, the son of the living Elohim." Shimon bar Yochanan, Yeshua said to him, "How blessed are you, for no human being revealed this to you, no, it was my Father in heaven. And I tell you this, you are Kepha, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it." And then Yeshua actually set out to prepare the building right away. It was as though he waited for David to get the revelation of substitution sacrifice and then proceed to tell David to make an altar and indicate where the temple would be built. Yeshua sees that Kepha receives the revelation and starts speaking truths that he had never spoken before. And he says this in Matityahu chapter 16, verse 21. And from that time on, Yeshua began making it clear to his Talmudim he had to go to Yerushalayim and endure much suffering at the hands of the elders, the head Kohanim, and the Torah teachers. And he had to be put to death. And then on the third day, he had to be raised to life. Yeshua laid the foundation truths of death and resurrection, that death would be the substitute for our deaths. The grave's gates cannot prevail against this building and the messianic community because its foundation is Yeshua's death made in substitution for our deaths. The entire foundation of the messianic community is a truth we receive in powerful revelation that death has been overcome through sacrifice, Yeshua's sacrifice. Like the ram dying for Yitzhak, like King David willing to die for Yerushalayim, it is appointed for man to die once. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 to 28, it says, "Just as human beings have to die once, but after this comes judgment, also HaMashiach, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to deliver those who are eagerly waiting for him." Yeshua dies once, because we are supposed to die once. He takes care of that single death debt that we owe. He paid a debt that we owed. There goes my death and my judgment. It's already been done. We have one death and one judgment to come afterwards. Yeshua died once to bear our sins and face our judgment. When our judgment comes, Yeshua will say, move on, I've paid the debt for that one. Judgment, no judgment needed. Hasatan, the adversary, has the power over death. And in Messianic Jews 2:14 it says, therefore, since the children share a common physical nature as human beings, he became like them and shared the same human nature, so that by his death he might render ineffective the one who had the power over death, that is, the adversary. Anything the adversary does in the category of his power of death, so anything the adversary does, we need to stand up on the foundation of the death of Yeshua HaMashiach for us and let him know he has no jurisdiction over someone who paid the debt of death through Yeshua. The gates of grave and death cannot prevail against us. They built the temple there on Mount Moriah, or Moriah, where Yah's light emanates. When we see the light, this indicates a revelation. And this revelation involves you. You see the truth in Yeshua's life, his resurrection as your foundation, and as you experience his resurrection. And thereby you are on the rock of safety that keeps you safe from any storm, no matter when it comes your way. Any attack from the power of death, regardless of what we may have to face in the future. And of course, my thoughts immediately go to October the 7th, 2023, a day that will be forever etched in my mind on how innocent people suffered, especially A, not knowing if they knew Yeshua, and B, or if they had previously rejected him. And that is what my heart mourns for and grieves for all the time, purely and simply because my own Jewish family have rejected him. They don't want to know him. They won't let me mention his name. And that's where I grieve, because we don't know, with all those that were lost, 1,400 on one day, whether they knew Yeshua. Jochen and Aleph in 1 John 5:5 says, who does overcome the world if not the person who believes that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim? And in Jochen and Aleph 5:20, and we know that the Son of Yehovah has come and given us discernment, so that we may know who is genuine. Moreover, we are united with the one who is genuine, united with his Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is a genuine Yehovah and eternal life. In the same chapter, we read of Avraham's revelation of resurrection life in Bereshit 22:17, where it says, I will most certainly bless you, and I will most certainly increase your descendants to as many as there are stars in the sky or grains in the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will possess the cities of their enemies. The seed of Avraham possesses the gates of the enemy. Yeshua has the keys of death and hell. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Yeshua says, I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and Sheol. Avraham was told on the mountain where the house would be built, at the foundation of life from death, the words of the gates of the enemy possessed by the seed that were fulfilled when Yeshua said he would rebuild his messianic community on that rock and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He would have the keys to the gates. He has the power over death. And he gives you, each and every one of you, watching online, no matter where you are, he gives you the keys. We do not know what is planned in this world in the days ahead. We do not know. But what we do know, we are indeed founded on this truth. But so many believers have slipped off the mountain. They are fearful. David brought the plague upon himself. He acted in the flesh. Sometimes we slip away by acting in flesh and become fearful. But we bring problems on ourselves. We have been serving Yah for any amount of time at all. We should be able to shake ourselves and neglect appearances, as Abraham cared less about what the prospects of death looked like and trust in Yah for victory and over all opposition to both our faith and our well-being. I believe our faith will be tested in these end time days. We should look at our battles, and as they are all forms of the enemy's kingdom of death, and seek to overcome them, knowing that our foundation is power over death by resurrection. So any lesser enemy aside from death is easy fodder. Since we have already overcome death through Yeshua HaMashiach, we should not fear and we should not worry. We need to overcome fear, false evidence appearing real. This is easier than said than done, but we can do it through strength in Yeshua that is within us, reaching out to others to pray for us when we're down, feeling fearful, so that we can be lifted up, because the enemy has been defeated. It doesn't matter what comes ahead of us, the enemy has been defeated. We have to raise our eyes, look to Yeshua, see him seated beside the Father, knowing that he has overcome death and hell and that we are seated beside him. That's where we have to picture ourselves. I know I said that last time I spoke, but I can't but not say it again. We have to see ourselves in that way. We don't know what's in the future, but Yah does. He knows the end from the beginning. We have to let go and let him have control. Does anyone have any questions? No? So we will move on. There is one thing I want to say before I go any further. Many of us have been in Christian churches. Many of us have been taught to pray in different ways. But the most things that we have all been told to do is bow our heads, cover our eyes. But when I read scriptures, and I read the Psalms, and I see what Moshe did, I see what Yeshua did. It's the complete opposite to what many of us and many of you have been taught. Because the scriptures say, raise your eyes, look to Yehovah. Moshe, when he spoke face to face with Yah, he spoke with his hands raised and his eyes looking up. He didn't hide his face. He didn't cower and bow away from Yah. He looked at him. Yah wants us to look at him face to face, as Moshe did, as Yeshua did, as King David did, when he said, raise your eyes and look to Yehovah. It's not a sin to have your eyes raised when you're praying. You don't have to cover everything up. Cover your eyes, cover your face, bow your head. Because it's like you don't want to talk to him, you're too afraid. But you're not afraid. You've got to be bold. You've got to be strong. You look at him face to face. You trust him. He's your heavenly Father. When you speak to your Father, do you bow your head and cast away? I can't look at my Father. He's your heavenly Father. Look to him. He will speak to you and hear from you. Sorry, that just came out. Let's move on. We'll move on to the Remembrance Service on the back page of the newsletter.